What I'd like to do now is something that it's possible to do in a lecture, because we're doing this live, is actually show you some things that go right and wrong when you try to graph data yourself. I've got some data on ethnic groups. So this is ethnic groups, and we want to investigate this data. So it's a nice small data set. It's reasonably easy for us to understand, so nothing technical. And what I've got is the ethnic groups in Cambridge, in the east of England, and in England itself. So we want to investigate this data. We then want to work out how best to graph it. So let's just start investigating this data by, let's make a pie chart for Cambridge. So pie charts are very limited in their use. They really only are useful for comparing a very small range of things against each other. And you can see that in Cambridge, this city is really white. If you walk around the streets, almost everybody you meet is white. Asian or Asian British, this is something that if you come from most other parts of the world, when the British mean Asian, they mean Indian, Pakistani, that part of Asia. They don't mean China and Japan, which is what those of us, for example, from Australia and New Zealand would think was meant by Asian. So this is quite a white city, really. Now, how about England? Well, we can actually, in Excel, you can say, well, I just want to, let's pick some different data. And it should let me, if only I had not hidden things. Oh, yes. I show you for England. And already I've lost some information. But you can see that if you remember, the purple segment was Chinese. You can see that Cambridge actually has a much higher Chinese ethnic population than does England as a whole. And you also see that things go wrong when you play with automated data systems. For example, I've now suddenly lost my labels, and Excel has very helpfully thrown in the labels 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for me. I can't. And in fact, what can often happen with graphing things like this is if you get into a model like that, unfortunately, you often need to actually go right back to the start and try again. So if you've invested an immense amount of time in getting everything beautiful and then suddenly find that one thing's gone wrong, often the software will mess things up. So it helps to play around a lot very early on to work out the best way to present things rather than invest a lot of effort into tuning this. For example, we could have tuned this to make all the colors we want, and then suddenly find that we need to make some change somewhere else and it reverts to its defaults. It's the problem of using complex software where there's lots of dependencies. Right, well, having a pie chart showing that Cambridge is predominantly white is not really what I want. What I want as a story here is I want to show how Cambridge differs from the east of England and differs from England. And I could do three pie charts, but pie charts next to each other are very hard to compare. So what might be better is a column chart. So let's do a column chart and investigate the data as a column chart. So we're in column chart. And I'm always just picking the standard charts. So here we go. Let's just pop this into a full screen version. There we go. And you probably can't read that. So I can, in fact, just for you, make the text a bit bigger and not quite that big. So you've got to play around to get things right. So here we are. We've got Cambridge, east of England, England, and what? This isn't making any sense, is it? We don't want to see the fact that there's a tiny number of white people in Cambridge compared to the number in England. Excel's got the data the wrong way around. It's put the information we want is we want the categories to be white, Asian, black, Chinese, mixed, other, and we want three bars, one for each of Cambridge, east of England, and England. So you can, do that. And there we are. You can see that England is predominantly white and that Cambridge has such a tiny population that it doesn't even show up. So this isn't what we wanted either. So perhaps a better thing to do would be to stack these bars up. So let's stack them up. And then you can see, now they're nicely stacked up. So we've got England. England's got all these white people and then these people of other ethnic origins. This is all, if anybody's offended by these categories, these are the standard categories used by the National Statistical Office. I've got no control over that. And we can actually see that now that we've included all the people of other ethnic origin, Cambridge has now got one pixel. And what we're trying to do is show people a graph of how the proportions change. So you don't want a chart that shows the absolute numbers, because you're comparing something that's about 120,000 with something that's about 63 million. And if you presented this, this would be nonsense. So again, you can do stack charts where you look at proportions instead of absolute numbers. So now we're in percentages, and that's what we want. We want to compare the percentages of people in different categories. So this is like having three pie charts next to each other, except that now you can do direct comparisons. And you can see it's true. There are a lot more Chinese people in Cambridge than there are in the east of England or in England as a whole. And indeed, if you look at the Asian population, Cambridge has got roughly the same proportion of Asian people as England, but the east of England has rather a smaller Asian population and a rather a lot more white people. Now, can anybody see what's wrong with this graph? It looks really... Yes, so this is something that we're so excited about, the fact that this finally shows what we want. We fail to notice, that it starts at 84%. And so this gives completely the wrong picture. This looks like Cambridge is this incredible melting pot of people from all over the world, and where the white people represent maybe 30% of the population. So again, you learn how to use these tools, and it can be slow and painful, but you learn how to use these tools, and you find that you can fix almost anything. You can say, automatically choose my axes, or fix them, and almost always when you're doing things for publication, you find that the automatic version is a good guess, but it's not quite right. So let's just say, we want the minimum to be 0%. And then, oh, now we see that Cambridge is not this wonderful ethnic melting pot. It's actually almost 90% white, as is England. And you see the east of England is 95% white. So what we've done by that investigation is we've looked at the data in all sorts of, in a few different ways, and we're trying to work out how to present it best. Now, as a graph, this now is essentially, is this telling the story you want? Do we need those bars, actually? No, we don't. So you might decide to clean it up. You might decide, well, I could do with these bars being wider. And you start tweaking. So now I'm playing around and tweaking with this. It doesn't have a title. And I said a chart title is important. Let's put a title in. So, ethnic mix. So some sort of suitable title. And you now have something that might or might not be what you want. You might actually decide that, having seen that, with a suitable warning, it might actually be appropriate to focus in on that top end of the bar and show how, while Cambridge may be 89% white, it still has quite a different ethnic mix to the rest of the country. Depends what story you're trying to tell. And you have to decide what story you're trying to tell. Now, the problem is I've now fiddled quite a lot with this, and if I now go out and decide that I want to add in an extra column of data, you find that, for example, I want to add in a column for Europe over here, you might then find that either it'll work and work beautifully very quickly, or you'll find something gets messed up and you have to go and redo all your fixes. Okay, let's now look at something that's possibly a little closer to what we do. You get some data. So I've got happiness index and per capita income. So we've got the per capita income for 48 countries and the happiness index for those countries. The happiness index is a number calculated by surveying people in each country as to how happy they are. You see, if you live in the Republic of Moldova, your happiness index is minus 0.12. If you live in the Netherlands, your happiness index, if you just look here, Moldova's a very unhappy country, the Netherlands, 0.91 is a very happy country. And we want to see, does having more money make you happier? Now, how do we plot this? Because we've got two things, one of that depend on each other. So what you want to do is plot a scatter plot. And when you've got one thing that depends on another, and we do that, and we'll pop this into a place on its own so we can have a look at it. So there we go. Again, you have to immediately go in and start doing things like fiddle with things, fiddle with sizes of fonts. So again, we've got the happiness index from minus 0.4 to 1, and what you see immediately from investigating this data is that there's a cluster at the top right. These are rich countries. They've got over $30,000 per capita income. And look, the rich countries appear to have quite a high happiness index. And down here, the countries with a low happiness index also tend to have a low per capita income. And then you've got all these countries over here, which we could categorize as poor but happy. And so what this shows is, while money seems to make you happy, it's not necessary. But if you live in an unhappy country, you're almost certain to be poor. And it may very well be that the link is not that having little money makes you unhappy. The link is that living in a country that's really unhappy, going through civil war, strife, the chance of people shooting you dead on the street every day, really does mean that normal economic life cannot continue. So the direction of implications going the opposite way to the way a rampant capitalist would like to tell you, because you can live in a poor country and be perfectly happy. So as a graph, is this any good? Well, Excel's actually done quite a good job this time. It's got a few things that are wrong, like, for example, we don't need this label over here. But let me show you something that goes really wrong in Excel, which no doubt your favorite graphing tool will get perfectly right, which is that if, say, I wanted to highlight these countries up here, which are super happy and super rich, I suspect one of those is Qatar in the Gulf. So I'm now starting to annotate my graph, and I've said a couple of times that in a tool like Excel, you start doing things like this at your peril. So I've done that, I've put that annotation on. I can obviously make it any color I like. And then I think, oh, hang on, I don't want this label here, so I'll get rid of that. Excel's now rescaled the graph beautifully, but it didn't really know what I meant by that, so it's just left it where it was. And that can go wrong if you are annotating on top of things, you resize things in any tool at all, and you might find that some things don't move the way you expected. We can move that over, though. This axis here, well, it's got lots of zeros, and actually we don't need all those zeros, so we can format that axis and say, let's have those in thousands. And your tool, instead of having to say, divide them all by 1,000, the tool's got something in it that will allow you to do that. So learning how to use your tool. These horizontal lines are pretty useless. We don't need those. So now, that's actually a much clearer graph. Just removing all those lines, that chart junk, has actually cleared up how it looks. And you will see that I really should add some labels to these axes, and I really should make this title better. So you get the point that you can go into these tools and they'll throw things at you, but you then have to fiddle around to get something good. When you're graphing, don't just accept whatever your tool throws at you.